Everyone, and welcome to minute 10 of season 7 of Movie Robin, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today to finish off this week is Chris Henry of the Apollo 13 Minute. Welcome back, Chris.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've had such a great time this week.
Oh, we're not done yet. We're not done. We still got one more to go. You know, I know you're already getting ready to, you know, you're doing your walkabout around the plane just to make sure everything's good before you fly off away from here. But give me one more episode. So minute 10 begins with Dexter finishing his response and ends with Zeus and John making eye contact. So basically, yesterday we had a great minute where there was a conversation between Zeus and his two nephews, and he was telling them the importance of education and why they don't need anyone else to help them. And Raymond ended the minute by saying, "We're going to help." And he didn't, he wasn't able to finish it. Today he finishes it with the words, "ourselves." So the question that Zeus asked yesterday was, "So who's going to help you?" "We're going to help ourselves." And then Zeus continues and says, "And who do we not want to help us?" And then both Raymond and Dexter respond, "White people." He goes, "That's right. Now get on out of here. Go to school." And so the two of them, you know, are satisfied. They're happy. Zeus is also quite proud of himself because he feels that he has educated his nephews properly.
Yeah, absolutely.
with how things work in the world. So I like that. You know, I like that this character is very happy that he has been training his nephews in the way to think. You know, he gives the two of them, you know, different handshakes, takes the radio, puts it on his workbench, I guess, and gets back to work, starts working on some stuff. And then we get a shot of the two boys just standing in the doorway, looking out. And the first thing I noticed when you're looking at them is if you look around, you see all these appliances that are sitting in the window. And some of the stuff really brings back memories. You have toasters. You have like little toasting grills, you know, to make like grilled cheese sandwiches and stuff like that. You have irons, something that looks like a food processor, something that looks like a radio, a microwave oven, you know, things like that. He's got all these used items that he's willing to sell to anybody.
Yeah, definitely a blast in the past on some of that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And like I said, Dexter and Raymond stand in the doorway, and then we hear Raymond say, "Uncle, you better come look at this." And he goes, "What? There's a white man standing on the street." He goes, "I seen one." "Not like this." which is a great line. Because the two of them are just shocked in their, you know, they're stopped in their tracks with the whole thing. And one of the things that I love about the way that this movie does things, you know, here we've been talking for the last two and a half minutes about Zeus and his nephews. And the movie succeeds in making us forget about John during that time. You know, we don't remember that John is standing outside with a sandwich board on him.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's like there's a complete disconnect.
It's a complete dive into, you know, this whole character development that, you know, with just within a few seconds on screen, you actually care about
a totally different group of people.
That's right. And at the same time, you forget the predicament that John was left in at the beginning of the week.
Right.
You know, that's it. It's like, okay, we've moved on to other people. And it really hit me when I was doing the preparation for this, and I was saying to myself, that's just so amazing that they're the way that this is set up, it's meant for us to forget that John's there. Because if you're thinking about John the whole time, you're saying, okay, that there's a guy outside, what's going on with him and stuff like that. And there's a complete disconnect with that. That Zeus is having his education conversation with his nephews, and in the end, what happens is that they jar us back into it, just, and they don't even do it visually, because, you know, we have the boys say, you know, "You come take a look at this," And we don't yet see what they're looking at.
Yeah. I also love just the Samuel Jackson's reaction when, you know, he says, "What is it?" And they say, "It's a white man." And he's like, "I've seen one." Like, I don't know why. I just love his tone and his reaction to that. I thought it was always.
That's right. Yeah. And then Zeus is basically fed up and then walks to the door. And as he walks to the door, and again, the camera follows him really well. And then we see his close up on his face, and then it pans over, and we see McClane standing on the street in shoes and socks and in his underwear, with a sign that says on it, "I hate."
Yeah, yeah.
Which is probably not the best thing to be walking around Lenox and 138th at this point.
Yeah,
probably not.
Not, you know, and I would argue in a society we've progressed enough that I wouldn't want to be wearing that sign anywhere. I mean, that is just
no matter where you are,
but I mean, yeah, you're in a really bad place to be wearing that, but I wouldn't want to be wearing that in the middle of Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I mean, you're outside of your comfort zone there.
Yeah, for sure. I remember years ago reading the novelization, and they change in the novelization what was written on it, but I can't remember what it says on it. You know, maybe it was something like "I hate all people." It was something really, really stupid that they changed it.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, because they were trying to, you know, make things sound, I guess, a little more PC.
Right. Right.
Maybe that's what they were doing. I mean, again, this was in 1995, and we're talking about the novelization, not even a, you know, it's not based on the script or anything like that. It's they take the movie, and, you know, back then they used to make books and tell the story of the movie.
Right.
You know, and I used to love those. I would go on. I used to have stacks and stacks of movie novelizations.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a bunch of those too.
I mean, I remember I had for like Platoon and, you know, like movies that were not based on novels.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Dude in the Reverse. Yeah. Yeah. I had a good bit of those, and we had a program when I was in school called Book It, and it was like, I don't even know if that's still around, but it was, you read so many books and you got stars on your pin, and then when you fill up your pin, you got a free pizza at Pizza Hut. And but I can remember, because it didn't matter what kind of book you read, as long as you read a book, and I would get those novels of like movies that I loved, and then read. I would honestly read the book, but, you know, I bought that book to read because I loved the movie. And so it wasn't cheating, but it was, you know, unfortunately I wasn't really growing my, it's not the intent of the program, I don't think, to get you to read and expand your horizons. I was reading books about movies, but didn't matter. I was reading.
No, it makes sense. I mean, one of the things that I remember as a kid, I would do book reports on books that were made into movies. So I would do like some Stephen King stuff. I remember I wanted to do one on The Running Man, and my teacher made me promise that I wouldn't go see the movie before doing the book report.
That's awesome.
Very cool with the way they do that.
That's awesome.
In the novel, it says, "I hate everybody." So I was right.
Oh, interesting.
Hey, you know what? Hey, I hadn't read that in almost 30 years, and I remembered that glaring difference.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's quite a change.
it makes sense from that perspective, you know. But I don't know. I mean there's a list here of all the changes in the novel from the movie and stuff like that, but you know, where they talk about John's birthday party when he was 8 and how his father was a drunk.
Wow.
You know, it also includes a scene where Connie and Joe find him in the messy apartment and things like that.
Wow. Yeah, it is. It is. That's pretty deep. That's cool.
Yeah. So basically John is standing there with the sandwich plaque on him, and Zeus turns to his nephews and says, "Dial 911. Tell the police to get up here quick. Somebody's about to get killed, and get your butts to school. You hear me?" So it's pretty funny because, like, he's got two things that he's important that are important to him. You know, let's call the police and go back to school.
Yeah, exactly.
in that
and
order.
He doesn't lose sight of that school.
That's right. That's right. And I think part of it also is that, you know, in the day and age that this movie came out, they weren't using cell phones. You know, I mean, there were cell phones, but people were not using them as much as we all know people use cell phones. And, you know, otherwise he would have just called himself. He was to get to school, I'm going to call the police.
Yeah.
Yeah. But instead you have to go in and make a phone call from a landline.
I would say even now you wouldn't. That's wild. You wouldn't even have to go inside. You just do it from right there.
That's right. Yeah. You'd be like, all right, police. Maybe you should get down here.
Yeah.
Do you notice that there's someone hanging out the window across the street, just looking around?
No, I didn't notice that. I didn't get that.
Yeah. I can't tell if it's a man or a woman because it's a little blurry, but there's someone, and there's also like a skeleton of a bicycle behind John, next to like a trash can. You know, it's missing the seat. It's missing the wheels, stuff like that.
That's wild.
And then the camera pans in, and we get closer shot of John, and then it switches over back to Zeus, who's just looking around, and he's in complete shock right now. As to what's going on here. He's like, why is this happening here?
Wow.
But he knows this is not good. And then, you know, he starts walking out and going over towards John to figure out what it is. And as he's walking over, we can start hearing some of the conversations of people around. You know, because he looks around to see what's going on. And, you know, we see a group of, I guess, for lack of a better term, gangsters standing in the back, and the camera focuses in on them for like a fraction of a second, but we can hear part of their conversation. And one of them says, I paid $500. The other one says, you better back off, man. He goes, hey man, he ain't so big. You know, so they're having their own little conversation. I have no idea what their conversation is, you know, but I love how they give us that Zeus is looking over at them and looking over at John at the same time. So we can also see the distance between them, which is not a very far distance.
No. But it's tense too, because you keep just thinking like, oh my God, when are they going to see him? You know, I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. And who's going to get there? They're going to see him first, or, you know, is Zeus going to get to him first? And what's going to happen when Zeus gets there? You don't really know that either.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And what we see is basically John is standing there. He tries to make some kind of eye contact with Zeus, but, you know, neither one of them really knows anything about the other, and no one knows if that will be helpful or not with the way that they're doing this.
Wow.
But I like the way that they do it. You know, they give us this slight little connection between the two of them. You know, if this was a love story, so you'd have, you know, the star-crossed lovers see each other this way, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's the camera work is called out. Like I think just a couple of episodes later or earlier this week, you know, the camera work in this scene is just, this whole setup and scene is just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, McTiernan does a great job here. I mean, you can talk about what type of person he is and a lot of the problems that he's had in his life, you know, legal issues and stuff like that. But the bottom line is, he knows what he's doing as a director.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate that he wasn't given the opportunity to do more movies because of his personal issues. Because as you mentioned on Monday, I mean, just look at some of the movies he made. It's just unbelievable.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I like that. Yeah. And that's the way this minute ends. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, absolutely. I think we got it. And boy, it's just been a real pleasure to be on with you this week.
We're not done yet. We're not done yet. You keep trying to. You're looking for the exit door.
I know you have another portion coming. I'm a little nervous about. We'll see how I do.
Well, we got two more things coming before that. First, we got the script. Okay. So, you know, the script continues with Raymond saying we got to help ourselves, and then Zeus says, "And who do we not want to help us?" And then he responds, white people. And he goes, that's right. Satisfied, Zeus offers the bills again. Dexter snags them. They smile at Zeus and tear out the door. Zeus carries the stereo to the workbench, muttering, "Ain't hot. Thing's so hot, you can fry an egg on it." And then the script at that point deals with John and Cobb as John is showing up. As John is walking down the street after he meets that that elderly black woman, so he sees the gang members and like mutters under his breath. And then it continues back to where we are here, where it says, across the street outside Zeus's appliance shop, Dexter and Raymond are staring at him. Dexter whispers to Raymond. They go back into their appliance shop. An electric stove is jacked up on cinder blocks. Zeus is under it. We only see his legs. The front doorbell dings again. Uncle, what are you doing back here? I'm busy. You better look at this. Zeus mutters under his breath, slides out from under the stove, a red-hot soldering gun in hand. He looks up at Dexter and Raymond. What? There's a white man out there. You take me from my work to see a white man? I've seen plenty. Not like this. They point to the window. Zeus walks to the window and separates the grimy Venetian blinds with his fingers. He looks out. He blinks. He looks again, squinting. He comes across, away from the window, says to Dexter, get on the phone. Dial 911. Tell me you want a police car up here real fast or somebody's going to die. Dexter and Raymond stare at Zeus. Go. Dexter and Raymond run down to the back of the shop. Zeus goes to the door, exits the shop. Zeus comes out of the shop, the soldering iron still in his hand. He looks around the intersection. Across the street, the gang members are hanging out, playing cards, oblivious to anything unusual. Zeus looks southeasterly to the other corner. It is a bizarre, surreal sight, and that's the way it ends. So I like the way that they describe it. I mean, I think that in the movie they do it better. The fact that they have John get dropped off and then, you know, then they have the whole story with Dexter and Raymond, because it goes back to what I was talking about earlier about the fact that they do a great job of making us forget about John. But if you put these two scenes together, so you don't get that same effect.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I definitely like it better.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so every Friday we have a segment called Name That Movie, where the idea is very simple. This movie, whether you knew it or not, was originally called something else. Okay, it was originally called Simon Says before it was renamed Die Hard with a Vengeance. So basically I went through and I found a list of about 150 movies and their original potential titles, or sometimes they're fake titles that they use during production in order to keep the paparazzi away or whatever it is. All right. So what I'm basically going to do is I'm going to give you the name of the original title of the movie and the year it came out. And you're going to try and guess what movie that is. And if you want, I have two other hints that I can give you. You know, if you want, I can give you a hint of who the director was or who, one of the main actors was in the movie. And we'll see if you can try and figure them out. All right. You use your movie knowledge and, you know, movie history trivia. I personally think you're going to do well because, I've chosen movies for you that I think you're going to be able to get. So we'll have to wait and see how that works. But, you know, the idea is not to try and trip you up. The idea is to just do it in a fun way and see if you can try to figure it out. All right, so I got five of these for you.
All right.
So let's start with the first one. The first one is a movie from 1991 that was originally called Johnny Utah.
Okay.
So do you have any clue as to what movie that could be?
Man, is it Point Blank? Or
yes, it is.
Point Break. All right. Point Break. Yes, thank you.
You got it. You see it.
All right.
It wasn't that difficult.
All I kept thinking about was Utah. Right. Get me two.
Was that? I can give you what?
Oh, I said all I kept thinking about was the line Utah, get me two for hot dogs.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. All right. So the next one is from 1986. The original title of this movie was The Body.
Ooh, The Body. Let me think on that for a second. The Body.
What year was it again?
1986.
Okay, give me a hint on that one.
Okay, well, what hint do you want? Do you want the name of the director, or do you want the name of one of the actors?
Let's get
where do you want to go first? Okay, Will Wheaton.
Boy, man, I'm trying to think. Body. Oh, shoot. Was it... Okay, hold on. It's like a... They're like in the 60s, 50s or 60s.
That's right. 1959.
Hold on. Don't give it to me, because I always confuse it with the wrong movie. Stand By Me.
Very good.
Oh, excellent. Man, I worked through it. Okay. I always get it confused. For whatever reason, I always screwed up
okay.
The Sandlot. So, okay, good.
That's okay.
Awesome. I can't believe I got that.
All right. All right. The next one is from 1990.
Okay.
We Can Rent It For You Wholesale.
Wow. That's the name of the movie?
That's the original name of the movie.
Wow. We Can Rent It To You Wholesale. 1990. Could I get one of the actors?
I'm debating who to give you, because if I give you the main actor, you'll probably get it even easier. All right, why not? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Give it to you wholesale. It's 1990. Oh, boy. We can give it to you wholesale. You got me on that one.
All right, I'll give you another hint. I'll give you the director, Paul Verhoeven.
Who was the director?
Paul Verhoeven.
Boy, I gotta be honest. You got me on this
one. All right, I'll give you some more of the actors in the movie. Sharon Stone.
Oh, God, it's Total Recall?
Yes, it is.
Wow, holy cow. All right. Wow, what a weird name. Wow.
All right, I got another one for you. From 1995.
Okay.
The original title of the movie was Lost Moon.
Okay, so that one I know, I think. I'm gonna go Apollo 13.
Yeah. I was waiting to see. I wanted to see how long it would take you to figure that one out.
Yeah, I had to go with that. The original title of Jim Lovell's book was Lost Moon. Him and Jeff Krueger.
That is correct.
All right.
That is right. That is right. All right, and the final one for you. Is a movie from 1989 called Shoeless Joe.
Okay, so if I'm right, it's one of my all-time favorite movies. And my dad is deceased, and it wasn't until my dad passed that this movie really hit me. If I'm right, Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. All right. Awesome.
You did much better than you thought you would.
That's a lot better than I thought. That movie also is on the list of movies that manly men are allowed to cry to. Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, that why fun. Not?
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you.
No, thank you. So, is there anything else you wanted to say about this movie? I mean, I don't think we discussed it, but what's your background with this movie? Do you remember when you first saw it?
I saw it. I mean, so... Again, one of those deals where, like, my mom, who would pick sometimes not great movies in the rental, had exposed us to the Die Hard trilogy or the Die Hard movies, you know, when they were coming out. So this, I remember, right. Like, when it came out, I remember, I believe we went down to, I'm going to date myself here, to Blockbuster and got it. And it was a big deal because it was like, oh, man, it's the new Die Hard movie, you know, and... I remember watching this movie with friends and you know, we were going to check it out, and which we loved it. Cause like, again, every time there was a Die Hard movie, and maybe I remember this wrong and you can correct me if I am, but like I think Die Hard's a little bit underrated for the whole franchise because nobody had really seen a movie quite like each of the Die Hard movies when at least the original three, you know, the first one, nobody had seen anything like that. I mean, that movie was crazy.
Well, that was the original Die Hard started a completely new genre.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, of the hundreds of movies that have followed that genre, you know, in the last 36 years, nothing has come close to being like Die Hard. You know, I know my good friends Jay and Mark will say that Con Air probably comes close, but, you know, not really. Sorry, guys. It's no Die Hard. It's a great movie, and it's up there. but did they manage to come close to doing what Die Hard itself did? I gotta say no, but I know you guys will completely disagree with me, and that's okay. That's allowed.
Yeah, it's I've actually sat in the seat of the Con Air airplane. Little side note, but so here's a tie. Wow. Here's a tie for you. I'm gonna let my airplane nerd out. Here is a tie between Con Air and the Die Hard franchise, and that I can give you is the airplane in Con Air is a C-123 provider, and the airplane that the general lands in Die Hard 2 is a highly modified C-123 provider. It's a model, but it's a C-123 provider that it's based on. So there's a little tie.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is we actually found a tie last week also because the writer of this movie, Jonathan Hensley, did a rewrite on he did it on Deep Blue Sea, I think. Because they also did Deep Blue Sea.
Okay. Okay.
And he was, I think, an executive producer or something like that on it. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's
all right. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really is.
But anyway, so Die Hard was just a game changer in our house. I remember seeing it, and I think it's one of those movies where I'll tell you a fun story. My buddies would kill me if they knew I was telling this story. We had agreed to do a man movie marathon one weekend. Our wives and girlfriends were all out of town, and I brought with me my Die Hard and Rocky set of DVDs. And do you know what movie we actually ended up watching to start off with?
When Harry Met Sally.
No, we met Love Actually. And I'm like, hey guys. I'm not feeling very manly watching this, but that was very true. So true story. But anyway, I absolutely love the Die Hard movies, and it was really cool to get to hang out with you this week and talk about it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I'm really glad. Thank you very much for taking the time to do this. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, anytime. I'm sure we'll team up in the future. Anytime.
That is definitely a great plan. So, would you like to one final time tell people where they can find Chris Henry?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm out there on Facebook and stuff, but throughout the week, you'll see me at the EA Aviation Museum. I'm the manager there, and I get to help run that air museum. And we're located in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. So we're right in between Green Bay and Milwaukee. So come on out and see us. We have about 150 to 200 airplanes. It varies just because of what exhibits we have going on. Then the last week of July, we have the world's biggest air show out there. So if you guys get a chance, you find yourself in the Midwest, come out and see me.
All right. Sounds really cool. I will try to do that next time I'm in the States. I will do my best.
Well, you got a plan. We already got a plan of we're all going to get together and we'll watch Love Actually. So
I don't know about that, but yeah. I've seen it. I like the movie, but
Yeah.
Exactly. All right.
Die Hard.
And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to shoot me an email, just send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Chris, thank you very much for joining me this week. It's been a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. For having me. And like I said, it was a good
time. Yeah, yeah. And I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah. Hurrah, we'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hurrah, hurrah, the men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.